Hey guys, welcome to Heist and Slice, a true crime podcast where one week we talk about a heist and the next we talk about a slice. My name is Nora.
And I'm Shelby.
And this week is a heist. So take it away, Lou.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into it. So we're going to go to 1994 Norway. They held the Olympic Games. So the National Museum moved their version of the Scream, because there's four different versions of it.
Okay.
From its usual location to a ground floor gallery.
Okay.
I don't know why they did it, but they did. So at 6:30 a.m., February 12th, 1994, the opening day ceremony of the Olympic Games, the museum alarms went off. And when the police arrived, they found a postcard that said, "Thanks for the poor security," and the Scream was gone.
Oh.
And so
at least they're nice. They're like, "Thank you."
So they go and look at the security video, and the video shows two men grabbing a ladder from a construction site nearby, and they go to a window, they smash the window, they don't even go inside the museum, they just put their arms in, cut the wire that's holding the Scream, and then leave. It took 45 seconds.
Are you saying the screen?
The Scream.
What's that?
The Edward Munch Scream, like...
Like the Scream. Okay.
Yeah, the painting. Scream.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Scream the whole time. Okay.
No, the Scream.
So this was just... I bet this was spur of the moment. Not planned.
Since they had just moved it down there.
Right.
Opportunity.
Thank you for the shit 40 security. 45.
Poor. Poor. If you're going to quote something, Nora, quote it right.
I didn't quote it.
Thanks for the poor security. 45 seconds in and out. 3 months after the Scream was taken, they had no lead, so the Norwegian police asked Scotland Yard Arts and Antiques units for help.
Okay.
So, here comes Charlie Hill. Charles Patrick Landon Hill was born May 22nd, 1947, in Cambridge, England. His mother, Zita, was a British dancer, and his father, Landon, was born in Oklahoma. He was a U.S. Army Air Force officer. His stations included London, Germany, Washington, Texas, and Colorado.
Okay. I like that name, too. Zita. That's kind of cool.
It made me hungry.
Why?
Bake Zita? 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 Zita, give me the Zita?
Okay.
Some pasta, man.
Anyway, we just had Taco Bell.
We did. It, I didn't want to tell you this, but I had first dinner already.
Oh, God. Just go.
Pizza. Okay. Charlie graduated from private St. Albans School in Washington. He then went to Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. That sounds about right. I can't remember hearing. But dropped out to join the U.S. Army. He served as a paratrooper during the Vietnam War. In 1971, he earned a bachelor's degree in history from George Washington University. He then goes to Trinity College in Dublin on a scholarship and taught remedial math at a school in Belfast for 2 years.
Okay.
And studied theology at King's College London in 1976.
So, Daddy did a lot. Is this Daddy or is this him?
This is him.
Oh, okay, Charlie sorry.
Hill. Yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah. And shortly after Hill was hired by the Metropolitan Police, his mother got him into art at an early age. She took him to art galleries and always had a love for art.
Okay.
In 1980, Hill went undercover to recover a painting stolen by two criminals. He posed as an art dealer and told them that the painting was fake. It wasn't worth anything. And then the Flying Squad from Scotland Yard raided the area and arrested the two men.
Flying Squad?
Yes. So, the Flying Squad was formed in 1919, giving authorities permission to carry out outside the duties of the Metropolitan Police District.
Oh.
Which means that they didn't have to, like, because it was kind of divided up to different police stations, and they could go anywhere and not have to go with it. Yeah. And giving rise to the name of the Flying Squad, because they could just fly, you know.
Anywhere.
And not have to worry about jurisdiction. And then in 1993, Charlie's reputation took off when he recovered the lady writing a letter with her maid. A painting that was found in Antwerp, Belgium.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
No.
The Vermeer a lady writing a letter with her maid. What do you think she's writing about? Now listen.
We both know Nora knows nothing about art.
This was in the Calheel episode.
The lady in...
The lady writing a letter with her maid. And you asked me, what do you think they're writing about? So this is the Rossum Burr house where Martin Calheel goes in and steals 17 paintings. And then he has a hard time fencing them.
So this guy gets them back?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the painting along with 17 other was stolen 7 years earlier by Martin Calheel, which is, I'm not saying his name right. Sorry, Ken. Yeah. Which is our episode Tango 1, Shower Incidents. I think it's like episode 17 or 19.
I don't know. We've got several now. We're pretty jazzed about that.
There.
Yeah.
So posing as a middleman for a Middle Eastern tycoon, Charlie dealt with a gangster. And so he's looking for this other painting. He's not even looking for the Vermeer at this point.
Okay.
And he goes into a parking garage at the Antwerp. Fuck. International Airport. The gangster took a painting out of his trunk, and Charlie Hill noticed there was three other paintings in there, and noticed one of them kind of looked like the lady writing a letter with her maid. So he pulled it out, and he's like, that's what it fucking is. And so he just happened to come upon it by accident.
Oh, so he just stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
But stumbled upon this priceless art. Okay.
So, in 1996, 2 years after the Scream went missing, he posed as a representative for a Los Angeles Getty's Museum, and which led him to the Oslo Hotel in Norway. Now, he's undercover. He's got a fake name and everything. And, of course, coincidence, the day he goes undercover and he goes to the hotel to meet the people that he's meeting, Scotland Yard is having a, like, get-together there, like a reunion.
Uh-huh.
So he's trying to avoid all these police officers from Scotland Yard that he used to work with.
Oh, so they're like, hey, what's up, Charlie?
They don't know that he's undercover.
What's up, Charles?
And trying not to, like, get his cover blown.
Right.
Which, it doesn't get blown. He ends up recovering the Scream. And in 1997, he left the force and joined the Nordstrom Art Insurance in the city of London as a risk manager. And then in 2002, he returned to detective work in private capacity. So, we're going to go back to the Scream. So, who took the Scream? I'm going to butcher this name.
You know what? That's one painting that I feel like I would want to take too. Because I think he looks like Ghostface, and I think Ghostface is cute.
Also, it goes, like, I did some research on Edward Munch or whatever, the dude that painted The Scream. And a lot of his paintings, because his sister had depression and he was going through depression. So a lot of his paintings is kind of illustrating
what he was feeling.
Mental illness. And at the time he did it, no one was really, like, into that. It was like, gotcha. Oh, this is like, oh, what?
Like, what is this? Yeah. This is probably too dark for people at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really popular when he
was
alive.
It's kind of like the Tim Burton of the Disney movies. Kinda. Yeah.
And he actually made, apparently, when he made paintings, he wasn't very, I guess, respective of them. Like, he would leave them laying on the floor.
Gotcha.
And, like, step on them, and he'd duct tape, like, have duct tape on some of them, and then cover it up and redo it.
I mean,
and
I'm sure he probably thought, these are my paintings, I'll never be big.
The Scream is not, like, there's four different versions of the Scream, and this one that they're looking for is not even on canvas. It's painted on cardboard.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So there's
like
actually
a piece
four
of cardboard.
There's actually four paintings of the Scream.
Yeah, I think two are in oil and then two are different.
Are they all do they all look the same though? Like, I mean, I guess there would be difference, especially if they were in different medias, but
and I could be pulling that out of my ass if they're in different medias. But I do know there's four versions of them.
Right.
I do know that much. And that the one that they were looking for was on cardboard. Yeah.
On cardboard.
Yeah, on cardboard. And there's actually another painting on the back side of that one that he had started and didn't like, and so he flipped it over and did the Scream on it. So, I mean, like, not what you would think would become worth...
Right. Millions, you know, billions of dollars, whatever.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
And be stolen several times. The Scream has been stolen a couple different times. But it is back at the National Museum in Norway.
I just don't understand why people still aren't anyway, because we all know at this point, we've all learned in our Heist and Slice little family here that art is the hardest thing to move.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Especially a popular piece like The Scream and The Vermeer, the lady writing the letter. Because that was also the only one in private collection. The only Vermeer that was in private collection, except for the one that was in the Queen's collection.
Like, at this point, our Heist and Slice family should be very aware that gold is easier to melt down.
Go for gold, because once you melt it down, you can't trace it back.
Yep.
Go for the gold!
Or jewels.
Yeah, or jewels.
But we don't... We're not telling you to go steal stuff. We're just telling you.
But if you are, gold's the place to go.
Okay. So tell us about who stole this.
So, it was actually, they ended up arresting four men, and the, kind of the lead ringer, that's not right. Lead ringer?
Ringleader.
Ringleader. Oh my God, what just happened?
You just transposed it.
The ringleader was a guy named Paul Igner. I know I'm not pronouncing that right. Paul Enger. It's Norwegian. The red right there.
It's probably like Powell.
Yeah, it's Norwegian.
Anger.
We all know I'm not very good with those pronunciations. But anyway, he was the ring reader who had been convicted of stealing Munch's vampire in 1988. And January 1996, the four men were convicted of theft. But they were released on an appeal of legal grounds because the British agents involved in the sting operation had entered Norway under false identities.
Okay.
So, they was able to, like, get off the hook for it. So, but I, yeah. So, that was that. So, now we're going to go back to Charlie Hill.
Okay. Take me back to Charlie.
Charlie! There's also a book that kind of goes into more detail about Charlie Hill and everything that he went through and some of the other stuff that he did, and that is called The Rescue Artist by Edward Dolick, Dolnick.
Dolnick.
Yeah, but it's called The Rescue Artist, A True Story of Art Thieves and the Hunt for Missing Masterpiece. So, I got something in my throat. Sorry. Okay, so he went to do detective work in private capacity because he kind of wanted to get out of working for... Scotland Yard, because, you know, he was working with criminals and stuff like that, and he did have three kids. But actually, February 20 of 2021, Hill died of a heart attack.
Aww.
And he survived by his wife, who he married in 1997, and three kids and two grandkids. And at the time of his death, he was actually working on the Elizabeth Stuart Gardner heist, which I'll do an episode about it later. But it was 13 paintings stolen in 1990, which is worth about $50 million.
Oh, wow.
That there's just no leads on it yet. The FBI believe that the paintings are still in the U.S., but Hill thought that they laid sealed in a wall in a house in West Dublin. So he was working on that. They was also going to make a movie about him and his quest for some of the Elizabeth Gardner paintings, but apparently... when they went to go do this movie, Hill felt like they were putting his informant in danger. So gotcha. it didn't work out, and they cut ties. So the movie's not going to get made. But
I mean, it might once the paintings, if the paintings are ever retrieved.
They've been gone for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's unsolved, which is kind of why I was a little iffy about doing the heist to begin with, because it is an unsolved heist. But... I also feel like it's kind of a popular one.
Right.
But, yeah, since I mentioned it here, I'll probably do the Gardner heist eventually. But, yeah, that was a little short, but
we like
I tried to do
ones.
This one earlier I couldn't really find a lot of information on it, and I know how bad it sounds, but when he died, I was able to find a lot more information.
Right.
About him, because of his obituaries and stuff. Yeah. And the BBC did do some documentaries on him.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure if you guys look him up, he's probably...
If you find this episode really interesting, that the Rescue Artist book is really cool. And it... Sorry. Oh, my gosh. And it goes into a lot more detail, but I was listening to it on Audible, so it was kind of hard to, like, write everything down while listening to it.
Right.
But it's pretty interesting. But, yeah, that's kind of a different side of Heist. The
wallness of it.
Yeah, the detective. The fact that he found Martin Cowhill's paintings that he had stolen.
Yeah.
By accident.
Still wonder what they were writing about.
Right? Probably some man's dick.
Oh, Jesus.
Too much. I mean, what else you gotta gossip about with Fanmade? I mean, right? Anyway.
Maybe it was Juliet with her handmaid.
Romeo and Juliet?
Yes.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, I've known you only for 3 days, but I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
No, Shelby, if you're going to quote something, quote it right.
I'm paraphrasing. And guess what? I do get to spend the rest of my days with you. I only have 3 days left. Let's die together.
She died before him, right?
But then she wakes up and he dies.
Right.
Or vice versa. I don't remember. But they're both stupid. That's not love. That's trauma.
Toxicity.
Yeah, that too.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway.
Shakespeare.
Not here to make fun of Shakespeare, but dude, come on.
I would never make fun of him.
Shakespeare.
Wonderful.
Although I do like the Broadway show, Something Rotten. That kind of makes fun of Shakespeare. And they kind of hint that he plagiarized and stole other people's work.
Right.
But you know what? Whatever. You do you, Shakespeare. But anyway, that is our heist. Next week is a slice-a-ria. And
that's a Mia.
So that was Charlie Hill.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Oh, I don't think I told you this, but I think he was like 79 when he died.
So he lived a long life.
And the fact that he, you know, he actually met Martin Cowhill and some other gangsters and like had a lot of enemies, and you know, he died of natural causes, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably, like, a lot of our heist and slice come from enemies made.
He's not what you think he'd look like.
Oh, you mean, like, our turf and surf, what was his name?
Murph the Surf. Yeah, he's not what you would think he would look like.
I feel like he looks like Andy Warhol. Am I wrong in saying so?
He looks like a professor. That so, never leaves his office.
Oh.
You would not look at this man
he
and be
looks
like
my old manager at McDonald's.
He looks like he's also a paratrooper. I mean, you wouldn't look at this man and think this dude deals with dangerous criminals every day.
No, no.
And keeps his cool while he goes undercover to look for art.
Well, I will say, our slices are going to go back to being grim for the next one. I'm sorry. Listen, there's no comical...
I mean, Sweeney Todd was comical.
Sweeney Todd is also not based on a true story.
You don't know that.
Do you know a demon barber?
It could be based on a true story. You don't know what happened in the 1700s. It could have been a true barber out there going, phew, 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 I don't want to shave you.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that he's based off of Queen Elizabeth, but...
See? So, suck it.
Was that her name, Queen, the one that...
Are you talking about the one you did, Bathory?
No, I'm thinking about Mary.
Bloody Mary?
Yeah, the one that's based off Bloody Mary.
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll get into that.
We have handles.
All kinds of handles. Heist and Slice podcast, that's our Instagram. Heist and Slice, spelled the same way here, @gmail.com, and Facebook. Mm-hmm.
And we got our first fan art.
We did. Shout out to Lena.
It's pretty cool.
It is.
It's going in our studio.
Post a picture of it. We do not have a studio, y'all.
It's a little corner of the living room.
Right.
Called the studio.
The studio.
The studio.
Anyway.
Hey, what'd you put in there?
Shelby's now yelling at her cats, so we're going to go.
They just put something in your shoe.
Everyone have a good day or night, wherever you are.
Bye!